Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. This is Brian, your host. It's Christmas time. Do you hear the music in the background? The song Sleigh Ride? Yes, we want to kind of get everybody in the Christmas mode. This, you know, we're going to continue our part two of Christmas stories. And boy, do we have some stories on our show here on The Flavor. Did you know in the Philippines, I didn't know this, but in the Philippines they celebrate Christmas. It's the world's longest Christmas season from September till the 9th of January. I mean, we're serious about it. Everywhere it's really high octane about Christmas, but in the Philippines, that's really cool. You should see the lights there, the food over there in the Philippines. Ooh, man, I was looking up, but as you were hearing the beginning of our show, that was a take from the movie The Christmas Story. Does everybody remember Ralphie Parker? Yes, from The Christmas Story. And the family, the house, well, I didn't know this, but I found out that the house that was in the movie, The Christmas Story, is in Cleveland, Ohio. Yes, 216. And we caught up with the owner of the house today. And just what a story of what's going on there in Ohio. And you got to hear this interview. But before we do that, we're going to listen to a little bit of more Sleigh Ride, and then we're going to go to our interview here on Flavor Living Radio. So it goes by what happened. The house that the movie, the house in The Christmas Story, a entrepreneur from San Diego bought the house. Let me stop. I don't want to go more, but we have the entrepreneur here on our show. His name is Brian Jones. Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. How's it going?
It's going great. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yes, 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 man. A couple of weeks is here. People in the spirit. Thanks for being on our show, and, you know, we are a food show, but we had to have this. This is like the mega, we had to have you on our show for this story. So, how's it going? You're in Cleveland now, right? You're in Cleveland?
I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. It's a busy Saturday. We got a line down the block of people, you know, looking to get in the house and just having a good time, and everybody's, you know, kind of in the Christmas spirit and just reliving a Christmas story.
So, I guess I want to go back in time. As everybody knows, The Christmas Story, it airs every Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, right? The movie. Yes.
Yeah, they on TNT, they run a marathon, TNT and TBS, a marathon for 24 hours. So I think it's 8 o'clock Christmas Eve to 8 o'clock Christmas night.
Yes, man, what a show, man, from when I was little. And they have like about 48 million people watch it every year.
This story,
great story. Wow. So the house, I guess I'll let you explain that
we'll go back to December 2004. What? We're going back in time. What happened then?
Well, I had gotten out of the Navy, and I had a leg lamp business. I was making and selling leg lamps, and the house from a Christmas store came up for sale on eBay. And it just seemed to me like a natural extension of the business. I was both a fan and a businessman, as a Christmas store comes to be.
Okay.
And I just thought it'd be a great idea. And I'd always wondered where the house was, and it seemed like it kind of faded away. From the ABS, it kind of faded away, and I didn't want to see, you know, such a great piece of Americana, you know, just kind of left to, I don't know, fade into the twilight.
Yeah, right.
Didn't let it happen.
Wow. So, bam. So you got? Were you bidding against other people? Were bidding? Was it a bidding war? Or?
Well, I called a gentleman. I actually beat out Scott Schwartz, who played Flick, to own the house. There was just a little bit of communication between him and the owner, and so the owner was going to sell it to him, but then where they were supposed to meet, it never happened, and so he put the house on eBay. He was asking $100,000 for it. He said he had it up to about $115,000. I offered him $150,000 to sell it to me right then and there, and he agreed. And
the rest is history.
That was it. So basically, that all happened within maybe, I know, 18 hours. I emailed him at night, and he called me in the morning, and the house was mine.
Wow. Now, what you did to the house, I saw, as far as the house goes, you did a lot of renovations for the house, for the Christmas Story house.
Yeah, we had to get it back to how it looked in the movie. We had to completely renovate it, both inside and out, the mechanicals, all the siding, because they'd vinyl sided it, so they'd cut big chunks in the old siding and nailed the vinyl to it. So all that had to come off. We had to remove stuff into here, redo basically everything in the house to get it back to it. It had just been a rental property for the 25 years in between when I bought it. So a lot of work went into it.
So then I saw you, the grand opening was on 2006, right? November?
Yes, Thanksgiving weekend of 2006.
Man, you must have been like, what's going to happen? Are people going to show up?
I slept in the house because I didn't want to like oversleep or miss it. And actually, the problem with that was that we were staying in a hotel normally, and my parents came down, and my wife missed the grand opening because we just didn't realize that nobody was that she wasn't making it, and nobody had gotten her in the car and transported her down. So that was a small snafu. But other than that, everything went smooth.
Yeah, how many visitors did you have on your first?
We had between 4,000 and 5,000 people the first day. There was locking around the corner, like 3 or 4 wide, and it was amazing. It took 4 hours to get in the house. People stayed. I mean, it was a great, sunny, beautiful day. You know, which isn't normal for Cleveland in late November, so it was awesome.
Man, I can't believe. I was looking at when I watched the movie. I know they have the narration, and the writer of the movie, his name was Gene Shepard, right?
Yes, that's correct. Gene Shepard was a radio entertainer, and Bob Clark, who was the director for the movie, had heard him on the radio for 10 years and wanted to make the film. And so
I didn't know that. I was like, this guy's a radio. He was a radio broadcaster.
Radio broadcaster. Had a big show out in New York. A lot of fans. And then he wrote, his books are basically a compiling of those articles.
Now, I was going to say, when I guess the story, it caught my eye for the Christmas house story. I was looking around. I saw a news story. It said a couple pay. I guess it's an auction. They paid money, $8,700 to stay in the Christmas Story house. So you have to tell us about this.
Yeah, I put a lot of money in Christmas Story House, and we have a museum across the street and a gift shop. Yeah. And that property looks really nice.
So what happens like when let's say the couple makes it in, they make it in for 2 days. What happens during that 2 days when they're in the house? I heard there's a lot of cool things that happen while they're at the house.
Yeah, we do a lot of fun stuff. We deliver a leg lamp and a crate.
No.
Christmas man in the lane. Snow is glistening, a beautiful sight. We're a beast of man walking in a winter wonderland.
Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is the new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in the winter wonderland.
Can build a snowman and pretend that he is passing around.
He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no man, but you can do the job when you're in town.
Later on, we'll conspire
as we dream by the fire
to face or to pray the blame that we made.
Walking in a winter wonderland.
That was a little bit of Christmas modern music right there. There was a little modern music. But listen, we have to go back to find out what happened at the house. Yes, the owner, Brian Jones, he goes on and explains what happens when you stay at the Christmas Story house.
You get the toter pins in the mailbox. You get a BB gun. You go out back and shoot, you know, just where Ralphie did. Basically, you get to live out a Christmas story. And we set up TV. You can watch the movie in the house in which it was filmed. That's
how about
fun.
How about the bunny jammy outfit? So do they get the bunny jammy?
Yeah, you want to wear your some bunny pajamas? You know, go for it. Whatever you want to do. You know, live out the movie.
I mean, I heard that they get the bunny jammies. You know, You know, pajamas there. You know, so they have breakfast and everything. And now being our food show, does somebody cater to them, or is somebody cook for those guys, or?
It's a continental breakfast. We do sell fudge. You know, that's a food item for the food show. Through a candy company. But no, we do rent out the house sometimes for private parties afterwards, and people have those catered.
Okay. You know, I was one of the scenes in the movie from the Bowling Chop Suey Palace.
Yep.
You know, and I heard there. That was like a funny scene in the movie, man. That was so funny.
Yeah, what's classic about that is there's two things. Is that people are, why is the W out in a bowling alley? They're eating there. Well, the assistant director, that actually happened to him when he was a child. He was hungry. So his brother and his mom saw a sign on a bowling alley, and the W was out. It said bowling. So she thought it was a Chinese restaurant, not a bowling alley. So they stopped eating food. Luckily, there's a restaurant in the bowling alley that they got to eat, but that's what the inside joke is there.
Oh!
Okay.
All right.
And then Melinda Dillon, they didn't give her the script for that day, and so she did not know that they were going to bring out a duck there. And so when you see
so
her,
the laugh was really...
She's pulling her hair, just kind of, you know, trying not to laugh too much and lose character, and then when they cut the, you know, and she screams, that's a real, you know, her real reaction.
Yeah, that's her real laugh right there.
So,
right. Yeah, and this the name of it right there. That's a funny name, Bowling the Chop Suey Palace.
Yep.
You know, that's funny right there. From the Chinese turkey. Well, man, Brian, this is something else, man. We had to have you here on, you know, Flavor Living and the share with us about, Ralphie Parker, man, and tell everybody the website where they can see and for the houses in Cleveland, where to reach and make tours and everything.
Yeah, it's in Cleveland, Ohio, and our website's achristmasstoryhouse.com. You just go there. You can visit if you want a leg lamp, we'll send one to you. We have a gift shop link, or if you want directions, how to arrange a visit, how to come see us. It's all on that website.
Thank you for being on Flavor Living Radio, and I'm on our show. Ryan.
All right, thank you.
All right.
And now for our second Christmas story, we go to the state of Indiana, and we speak with Melissa.
Yes, the town of Santa Claus, Indiana, is Christmas pretty much all year long, but we go all out for the holidays. We just wrapped up our three-weekend Santa Claus Christmas celebration with lots of events and activities and traditions for families, and now we've got a few more days before the big day.
Did y'all hear that? She lives in Santa Claus, Indiana. That's the name of her town, Santa Claus, Indiana. How did that start?
Well, it was back in the 1850s. The town was originally called Santa Fe.
Okay.
And the townspeople got together and wanted to get a post office in town. So they applied through the postal service and were denied because there was a similar town name already in Indiana. So it was back to the drawing board, lots of discussions, probably some heated, and they couldn't agree on a name. Finally, it's Christmas Eve. They were at a church service, and after church, the group of people were gathered around talking, you know, decided we've got to name this town. The kids are running around, and a gust of wind burst open the doors. Jingle bells were heard, and the kids said, Santa Claus! So the adults looked at one another and said, okay, Santa Claus it is. And just a few years later, in 1856, the Santa Claus Post Office was established and is still the only post office in the world with Santa's name.
Incredible. I must be really neat to write when you send out letters to, and then when you receive letters, it says the Santa Claus, Indiana there on the postage, envelopes and everything.
Yes. There's a volunteer organization of Santa's elves who respond to every letter to Santa, and this year they've replied to over 21,000 letters.
Wow. And every year it's like that. Every year, wham.
Yes. It's Christmas craziness here.
And you're humble about it. You're very humble because you're like, Brian, this is something. This is just part of me. Every year I go through, this is a part of me.
Yeah, it's great. It's, I work in, my office is inside the Kringle Place Shopping Center right off of Christmas Boulevard and right next to the Santa Claus Christmas store where the jolly guy himself sits and takes photos with visitors.
Our food show, and I was looking across for Santa Claus, Indiana. There's a restaurant there called St. Nick Restaurant.
Yes.
Could you tell us about that restaurant? It's on a Christmas Boulevard or this restaurant there?
Yes, Christmas Boulevard is the main street through town, and St. Nick's Restaurant is actually inside Santa's Lodge. So it's a full-service restaurant inside the main hotel in town, and they offer all sorts of things. One of my favorites is the nachos. You can also get anything from wings to pasta to a steak entree and then sandwiches. So it's fun spot, and they keep it decorated for the holidays all year long.
And yeah, I saw they had like Mrs. Claus spaghetti in there.
Yes.
You know. They're representing Mrs. Claus because she doesn't get enough. She needs to get more, you know, appreciation. You know.
That's right. Yeah, I agree.
You know. So I'm glad they paid her homage. You know, on there. It's just, but I mean, can you tell us some stories of are there people that just fly there from all over to come visit?
There are. We see a lot of visitors during the holidays. We also were a pretty big destination in the summertime. There's a theme park, water park called Holiday World that is open May through October, and they see over 1 million guests in just 3 months. So it's a pretty big deal here. And then, of course, during the winter season, it's lots of festive light shows and activities like you can go roast chestnuts on an open fire, just like
okay.
the song.
Like the song,
Santa
okay.
Candy Castle. Yeah, so I think that's really neat. We have a Santa Claus arts and crafts show. We have, lots of Christmas shopping, lots of Christmas eating, where you write your letter to Santa at the Santa Claus Museum.
Okay.
Tons of Santa statues, larger than life, to take your photo with, and just lots of festive
everything.
Fun.
So, Melissa, just between us here and Ray, have you written the letter to Santa Claus?
I didn't write a letter myself. I have a 2.5-year-old, so I helped him write his letter this year.
Okay.
But I have written Santa myself in the past.
Yes. When we were growing up, we did this. We also wrote Santa. But yes. I mean, so you wrote the letter right there in Santa Claus, Indiana, right?
That's right, inside the original Santa Claus post office.
Right. That's so neat, man. Yeah, we had to have you on. Is there any stories that you've had there from, you know, from the past, from being there in the town? Any unique stories?
Well, it's just fun all year long. People really get a kick out of the town name. It's a small rural town, so the population is less than what we see in visitation on any given month. But it's just fun year round. There's lots of funny letters, kids asking for different types of things. We have people that drive from far away, as far as Chicago, which is about 6 hours away, to get the holiday postmark. That's
in
only
the Midwest.
Offered in
your favorite Christmas dish or Christmas meals that you like.
Oh God!
You
well,
said don't let me start, Brian. Don't let me start that.
my aunt makes homemade rolls, and I can't imagine a holiday dinner without those. Plus all the sweets. My mom makes homemade cookies and decorates them, and so there's a whole lot of good stuff going on during the holidays.
Melissa, thank you for being on Flavor Living Radio. We had to have you on. And
thank
is there
you.
A website they can see or visit?
Yes, if you go to SantaClausIND.org, that's our website with all the attractions and restaurants and places to stay, lots of photos. And, of course, Claus does not have an E. So it's SantaClausIND.org.
Thanks for being on our show and sharing with us about Santa
Thank
Claus.
Thank you.
And yes, all right.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. We hope you enjoyed our Christmas story, part two. So today we had Brian from Cleveland, Ohio, and the Christmas Story House. You can take tours in Cleveland. And then we had Melissa from Santa Claus, Indiana, everyone. Including me, I was like, wow. So, wait a minute. Before I go, I thought I wanted to talk about an email. I got an email I got, and I couldn't understand. It was like somebody was trying to reach me. So, I thought today, listen, for the first time here on Flavor Living Radio, we're going to open up the phone lines, the Flavor phone lines. You can call us and tell us your favorite Christmas trees, Christmas story, Christmas gifts. Dinner, everything. So you can call us. I'm going to open the phone lines here. It's call us at 1-877-563-1200. So let me go ahead and open the phone lines here. I want to see what you guys have to say. This is the first time opening up our lines here, you know, on the Flavor. All right. So here we go. Let's see how this happens, you know. Wow, look at that. It's only been 2 seconds. I've opened up the phone lines, not even a minute, and we already got a call. Hold up. Let me see who this is. Let me see here. Hello, you're caller number one. Welcome to the Flavor phone line. Can you tell us your Christmas experience? You're on air. Hello, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm calling from the North Pole, and I listen to Flavor Living all the time. And I wanted to share one of my experiences.
Well, welcome to the Christmas experience. Can you tell us your name, you know, for our listeners here on our show today?
Well, I'd like to remain anonymous if I can.
Sorry to interrupt you, but Rudolph is having a problem with his roof, and we need to take care of it right
now.
What do we do?
Did he just say Rudolph?
One second, Brian. Tell this Harry to fix it right away. We have to have Rudolph ready for Christmas. Okay, I'm back. It's so busy this time of year in the North Pole. So, where was I?
Well... We wanted to ask here on the Flavor Christmas experience, if you could, for our listeners and myself. Can you share a great experience?
Oh, yes. So I wanted to tell you one of my Christmas experiences. Let's see. I have so many, but one I remember in particular. Long time ago, near Junction City, Kansas, in this particular house, a Rock'em Sock'em boxing set.
Kansas?
A Commodore 64 computer.
Rock'em Sock'em.
A Slinky and a 3D Viewmaster. You know, the one where you look at the slides as it tells the story. What was so neat but they had the most amazing Christmas cookies. They were the best I had eaten. And I couldn't wait to get back to Kansas to bring more toys there. I made sure they got exactly what they wanted for Christmas.
Well, who is this on the phone? Because I grew up in Kansas City, in Junction City, and for one Christmas I had a Rock'em Sock'em and a ViewMaster and a Slinky too. I had a Slinky too. So can you tell us, my mom made great Christmas cookies, the best. Can you tell us who this is? Who is this? Can you tell us, Mr. Anonymous, who's this on the phone on our show on the Flavor here?
Okay. My name is Santa Claus from the North Pole. I tried to remain anonymous.
I knew it. As soon as you said Rock'em Sock'em Boxing Set, I was like, I put two and two together. I knew. How are you doing, Santa Claus? How's it going, man? It's been a long time. I can't believe you're calling on our show on Flavor Living Radio. How have I been lately? Have I been pretty good? Or have I behaved in the last year, a couple of years?
Well, you bet, Brian. You were a great boy.
Well, Santa, since we have you on the phone, what do you think about, as far as the world today, and everything, and how's your view on the world and just everything in general? And also, I wanted to ask, too, about what do you think about the Star Wars? Yes, The Force Awakens in the theaters. I know you've seen it there at the North Pole, I'm for sure.
Well, these times have been fairly tough for a lot of people. But there's still good in the world. And there's still lots of good little girls and boys that need toys to remember that people love them. And there is hope in the world. Now, as far as the Star Wars movie, I certainly don't want to give anything away. There has been so many spoiler alerts on Facebook and others, so I wouldn't want to be that guy. But as far as Christmas time, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas. And remember that hope and love and laughter is the most important thing in the world. So keep believing, and I'll be there to eat your cookies and give you the toys that you deserve. Merry Christmas to everyone, and keep listening to Flavor Living Radio. Ho, 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 ho.